The Holy Gospel according to John, the 11th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Judeans were just now trying to stone you, and you're trying to go there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he'll be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to the other disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Judeans had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to Jesus, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and calling for you." And when Mary heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Judeans who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Judeans who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Judeans said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said, "Lord, already there is a stench, because he's been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When Jesus had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said, "Unbind him and let him go." Men believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. A university student at the University of Nebraska has created a cologne called Eau de Death. Apparently, this chemistry postdoc figured out how to combine three chemicals which, when mixed together, closely mimic the smell of rotting flesh. Now, aside from wondering why your pastor is beginning her sermon this way, you might be wondering how this cologne is ever useful to anyone. I'm so glad you asked. This cologne will be useful, says the inventor, in the event of a zombie apocalypse. Because we know from movies that zombies only eat living people. Therefore, the stink of Eau de Death would act as a sort of off spray, except it would keep away the walking dead instead of mosquitoes. Because it stinks. Here again a portion of the gospel text for this morning, this time from the King James Version, a rare decision, but stick with me, please. "Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." He stinketh. These words, the words of Martha, the sister of Lazarus, are on the tip of my tongue and on my lips this week. Lord, this stinketh. It stinketh that the number of states passing anti-trans laws is growing by the day. It stinketh that in my other home, Palestine and Israel, any semblance of democracy is being summarily destroyed. It stinketh to be going through chemo treatments, if you are, and it stinketh to miss our children, and to try and balance work and family, and to grow old, and to wonder about the future of the planet. I wonder how many of you here have at some point this week thought, Lord, this stinketh. Amen? In John chapter 11, what stinks is Lazarus, of course, who has been dead for 4 days. But Mary and Martha are pretty sure that Jesus stinks too. Both these sisters confront Jesus with the fact that he didn't come when they called, but rather decided to wait around for 2 more days with his friends. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But now he's dead, and he's beginning to stink, and the whole situation stinketh. Mary and Martha were certain that because Lazarus already stinketh, there was nothing stanketh? Is it stinketh, stanketh? Not sure. There was nothing Jesus now could do. We know, however, that Jesus did do something. He may have been a couple days late, but Jesus did roll away the stone from the entrance to the tomb. Jesus prayed to God, the Creator, and then called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" And Lazarus, Lazarus, walked out of the tomb. In spite of the unbelieving disciples, in spite of the man's angry sisters, in spite of the stone, Jesus raised a dead man to life. Thanks be to God. Amen? Now, the raising of Lazarus is a miracle. And in the Gospel of John, this miracle serves as the last of a series of signs meant to prove that Jesus speaks and acts with God's authority. Jesus tells the disciples plainly why he did not go immediately to Bethany. He said, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I'm glad that I did not go, so that you may believe." Feeding the 5,000, turning water into wine, healing the blind man, those were impressive, but raising a dead man to it also removed any question about what was going to happen to Jesus next. For this event in particular caught the attention of the authorities and set in motion his trial, conviction, and public execution on the cross. Many people who were there that day began to believe. And for us today, the raising of Lazarus is still a powerful sign that owed death, the stench of death, may keep away zombies, but nothing will keep Jesus from raising the dead to new life. Sin and guilt, fear and death, these all stink to high heaven, and also Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Jesus stands at the door of every tomb, every closet, every place of despair, calling in a loud voice, "You, my beloved, come out." This is good news we all need to hear at some point, because we humans spend way too much time and effort trying to mask the evidence of our own sin and our shared death that we will all share. We may scoff at the idea of a cologne that stinks like death, but I think that many of us would be first in line to purchase Eau de Perfection or Sinless Number 5. Because we don't want anyone to know how bad we feel, how bad we stink, how much help we need, how hopeless we feel, least of all God. And so we cover it up. We cover up the smell, we wrap ourselves tightly, and we stay hidden away from the judging hordes of the perfect people that we are sure reside just out there. The thing is, those imagined perfect people are just as unreal as zombies. And the only one waiting on the other side of the door for us is Jesus, our brother. Jesus, our friend. Jesus, who weeps when we are stuck in a place that stinks. This message today is for my trans siblings. This message is for my bipolar siblings. This message is for my siblings angry with the abuses of the church. This message is for my siblings who wonder if resurrection and new life can exist even for them. I'd like to tell you a story. About 10 years ago, just before Easter, a church member approached me after worship at my congregation in Illinois. He asked if he could have a private meeting with me, and so we set a time. Now, Ray had enlisted in the Army shortly after World War II. He signed up in the Army because he wanted to go to college and because his family could only afford to send one child to college, and they chose his sister. It was 1949. With the war over, the Army seemed like a great way to earn money for college and to get some experience in the world, and Ray could never have guessed that our country would soon be in another conflict, this time in Korea. While there, Ray did what soldiers do. He killed people. The first one, he told me, he remembers in painful detail. He's not sure how many there were after that, and he wouldn't want to count, but he said he was doing what the government trained him to do. He was doing his job. When he came home, Ray went on with life. He got married, raised a family, worked hard. He had always been a believer, so while he didn't go to church every Sunday, he made sure his children did. He was especially involved with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Everything seemed fine on the outside. Ray gave the aroma of being a good family man, a good Christian. But he told me he had a secret. For more than 50 years, he had been covering up what he thought was an odor that even God could not stomach. For 50 years, Ray lived in fear that God would not, in fact, could not forgive him for what he had done as a soldier. He said to me, "Doesn't Scripture say thou shalt not kill?" Wrapped tight with fear, this man who seemed to have it all together in reality was a walking dead, a zombie. He was in the tomb, not for 4 days, but for 5 decades, and that tomb stank. And then something happened. Jesus called out to Ray, and he said, "Ray, come out." Actually, the way Ray tells it, it happened when he finally shared his fears of being unforgiven, and he heard these words, "Ray, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You have nothing to fear. In Christ, you have always been forgiven." This time, he heard these words, even though he had heard them before, and this time, his dry bones came together and flesh came upon them and sin covered them and his breath returned to him. And Ray, our brother, was raised to new life. By the way, this resurrection happened on Ray's 81st birthday. And it happened in my office. He was wearing his U.S. Army cap. It happened because he dared to step out of the tomb and share his fears and his truth, and discovered that Jesus was there waiting and had actually always been there with him. My dear friends, hear again the good news. There is nothing in this world, neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, not your fear of the future, no closet, no diagnosis, not your past mistakes or your inability to accept forgiveness, not your unbelief, nor anything else in all creation that is able to separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and all who believe, even though they die, shall live. And Jesus says, "Come out, Lazarus. Come out and live. Not only in the kingdom to come, but now in the kingdom we are creating together." Let us pray. God, O God of diversity, in calling Lazarus out of the tomb, you showed us that nothing is impossible, even defying death. As we commemorate this week Transgender Day of Visibility, we know that so many powerful people are trying to put trans and gender diverse people in the tomb. Guided by the example of Mary and Martha, who did not give up hope, help us to create a just world where people of all genders and gender expressions can thrive alive and unashamed through Jesus Christ, who broke every boundary and changed the world forever. Amen.